Oh, by the way, turning to Dragon Ball a bit, I posted this quote on the forum, but the brilliant Love HK film summarized the movie as such. I'm gonna pull it up here because they are great. Kids with low standards may enjoy Dragon Ball Evolution, but everyone else will only be mildly diverted, if not totally annoyed. Actual Dragon Ball fans will scream bloody murder, and those with respect for Steven Chow, who was the producer, and Chow Yun-Fat may begin to question their loyalties. If you buy the action figures, the bad guys will win. That's brilliant. And they ripped that movie apart. Try to like it, I think, but it just wasn't bearable for them. Scared Stiff is probably will always be more memorable because it's not Dragon Ball, basically. I think you can sum it up as that. Everything that is not Dragon Ball is probably going to be hugely memorable.
Although I do remember seeing the advertisement for it in the UK, there's just this one gag where they're basically ripping themselves, where the lead character's trying to gel down his funky hair. Once he manages it, the hair springs back up and the gel goes over the mirror.
A little distance from the movie to look at it in a humorous light. I kind of didn't expect that. Wow.
But then you see all like the CGI vehicles and that pish.
Quickly
It's
down
like,
here.
oh, it's like it shows you a little hint of promise, but then they just drown it out.
It's opening soon over
It must be. I don't give a toss.
there. Well,
I'm not
we'll
even
see.
going to like the lengths of illegally downloading it because that will be like just a waste of time, internet, legaliness. I would hate it if I some like got arrested for illegally downloading Dragon Ball. Maybe that was why I got arrested, because I chose to download Dragon Ball. And the police thought, what the fuck's wrong with you, son? Slapped the cuffs on me, the fucking movie police.
You now got a 600 movies banned list. You're not
Yeah,
getting a
the
movie
judge is
jacket.
reading my rights for downloading copyrighted films, tells me my fine, then I receive a fine for twice the price for actually choosing Dragon Ball to download. I wonder if that film will make back its money.
I don't think so. Just have to take a monumental. This movie is so bad, you gotta watch it. And, but I don't know. Keep play it in Asia for about 20 years. Then it will make back its money. Anywho.
I completely forgot to mention that, well, on the last movies watched, that I was in the middle of rewatching Dragon Tiger Gate again. Now, just before we started recording, I paused it at the point where it comes up to the good fight scene where it's on the baseball field.
Okay, I haven't seen it, so
Oh, right, I thought you did. But it does come up to this great scene where there's sort of like an assassination attempt on Chen Kuan-Tai.
Ooh, he's in it. Cool.
Yeah, he plays sort of like Donnie Yen's triad boss. So, yeah, it comes to this great shot where the people with baseball bats beating Chen Kuan-Tai down. Then it's got this great shot where it looks like as if the camera's running, like going along the grass, and it's zoomed in on the feet of Donnie Yen, and it zooms out, and then it goes back and up, and it shows you him running with like a pole. I think it's a pole. Then he goes into like this big fight scene where he's kicking like all kinds of ass. It's just like really easy, disposable, fun ass action.
I'm sure it is. I just haven't had any hurry to watch that.
Yeah.
And since I'm not reviewing it, I'm not buying it either. I'm more content watching like Jimmy Wang Yu Bashers as I'm doing now with Yasuaki Kurata, Knight Errant, which is fun. Fun, fun, fun. And did you see that video posted online where they were talking about the man from Hong Kong and what a total asshole Jimmy Wang Yu was on set? People sort of knew that Jimmy Wang Yu, he fancied himself a bit bigger than he actually was. But the movies doesn't automatically become bad for me because I think he kicked ass. And he was a cool director, so whatever. It would make for a good movie, which again, I'm surprised they haven't started to
churn out that. It right now.
It's a good time.
Maybe we have to wait so they could get more of their plot developed.
Yeah.
Because it's gone to the point where he's been voted off the island.
It's picked up again. So, I mean, okay, they could have done a part one.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's part two.
Wong Jing's sitting there and he's like, brilliant.
Kung
I don't even need to think about this one. It's happening right in front of me.
It's Kung Fu photography boy.
And guy. Maestro gambler wife.
Two.
Yes.
Starring Nick Jung as Edison Chen.
And there'll be, what's it, Ian Q as the naughty twin. That'd be great if they just referred to it as the naughty twin.
Based totally on reality and very balanced view on of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Not fictionalized at all.
And yes.
And like the centerpiece of the film is like a 30-40 minute, like, you know, bow, chicka, bow, chicka, bow.
An occasional like camera flash.
Wow. Well, it's happened before. They made cheap films in that regard before. Everywhere, so exploitation.
No exploitation.
I would watch it actually, just to see it. Maybe write a review of it.
Not to the length of a video review on YouTube. There'd be a lot censored out. It's gone to the point where I've gotten over the majority of my codes. So,
right, I didn't know you had. One.
It was Saturday night. I realised it was starting and I was like, ah, oh, fuck. So through that time it was the sore throat. By the time Monday came, sore throat, then runny nose. It was runny nose yesterday, so I was sniffling, this, that, and next thing. That was the thing I thought, was this podcast has got to be mostly going, well, well, you can, had you! So now I'm not sniffling it, it's just more of the occasional chesty cough, but I can when it's coming, so I could quickly whip out the microphone.
Right.
Like, unplug, cough,
not
plug back
blow.
In. Like, as no, I was saying...
I want his slimy snot live on podcast.
Nah.
You ever seen that show of the young ones where they all were sick? If you ever saw the young ones?
I didn't watch through it, but I did see like best of videos and the occasional episode on BBC Two.
Right.
But
it's the best British sitcom ever. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, I was a big fan of Bottom when I was younger.
Right.
So, I did go back.
Older.
I think I just not lost interest. I just never. For some reason, I'm actually more of a fan of their live shows than the TV series.
Yeah, some of the live shows are good. I thought they were sort of running on empty a bit during the fourth or fifth one. The first and second live show, they're great.
Aye, because it was like I'd got a box set of them for like Christmas, and it was just a box set of the live shows. I wasn't actually aware that this was a TV show as well.
Right, I think. It's the other way.
So, like, all that was new to me, so I thought that was cool, and then they were going on today a movie, and I realised, like, on BBC Two, like, this is actually a TV show as well. So that kind of blew my mind, but I never went to the stage to actually sit down and watch the television series.
It's great. I love it. It's their best. Well, obviously, they have good chemistry, judging by the way they fuck about on stage and mess up for each other, you know.
Yeah.
Start making each other fluff lines, and like, fucking hell, a line from the play!
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite bits, like,
mm-hmm.
Well, shut the fuck up, we're never gonna get out of South fucking Hampton. It'll be closed soon, just get on with the fucking play, they're making a video, and everything is unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
it's a bit where he's talking about committing suicide, and he can't you know, he can't stop laughing. You're not seem too upset about it. That's the kind of pitch perfect chemistry between two people, you know, that like to be terrorized that way, yet not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they put out warnings before the TV airings over here during the 90s, where during the opening credits, they had this very grave and serious guy talking about, these are fictional characters and they are doing things that hurt each other, but it's not real and you should not do it because it is not real. On a light-hearted comedic show.
Yeah.
But I think, but they were airing it like during late afternoon, where a lot of,
right,
like, say, 7th to 9th graders, which was the age I was in, roundabout, was watching.
But yeah.
Fucking hell, we do know what's real and what's not real, so.
Mm-hmm.
At least we had the choice to watch it, and they didn't do it. You know, they didn't put a crawl during every fight that they had in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure it's not real. I like this very grave, authoritarian voice. The defender of moral was talking. Strange. I love the young ones. It's one of those, like Monty Python, it just breaks rules.
Right, aye.
There's one show where they're invaded by people from the medieval ages and everything's looking really bad. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Who cares? And then the credits roll and they start playing poker and, you know, that kind of thing.
Aye.
There's a guy in it, every show, called Alexei Sale. Have you heard of him?
No.
So a Marxist comedian. He's always, in real life, he's actually been like that. So Marxist communist comedian. And he's always in every show as the one member of the Balovsky family. You know, it's like he plays the landlord often, that's Jerzy Balovsky, and then looking the same in the episode afterwards, but they recognize him like Reggie Balovsky. What are you doing here? You know, it was 20 Balovsky relatives, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. You should check out The Young Ones.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
It's the kind of thing where it probably made more of a splash during the early 80s because it was so outrageously provocative. And anti-Thatcher.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they even turned to the camera, you know, when the character Adrian Edmondson plays, he plays the punk rocker, when he gets pregnant, or at least he thinks he gets pregnant, they don't have anything to sit on because they had a burn everything in the house. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And he turns to the camera, Rick Mayall, I hope you're satisfied, Thatcher! You know, this very aggressive thing. I don't think you could really... Not every show did that back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's very cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it. I'll
put on the top guest,
of my rental lists.
There was a musical guest every episode. Because they said if they had a musical guest on, they were a variety show and they could get more money. So they had like Motorhead playing and Madness were in two episodes. And these kind of very, some bands you never heard of again and stuff like that. So. Just unwarranted musical numbers in the middle of a show. Sneaky thing. More money.
You wouldn't believe they're actually playing characters.
Yeah, it was kind of an odd thing. It was part of the show, yet not. You know, they just hung around waiting for them to stop playing. And you know, they had Dexy Midnight Runners one episode. And... one of the demands from the character Rick Mayall plays, because he plays the anarchist, was that the Dexter Midnight Runners should play in the university library every day or every Tuesday afternoon. And another character says, well, they're already set up in the lab upstairs. Cut to them playing a little musical number in the laboratory. So, that's kind of thing. Fun stuff. Anyway. Just to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe write a review of it.
Not till I'm sort of a video review on YouTube. There'd be a lot censored out.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put up any naughty bits in the video review because that automatically gets way too much attention from YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
The powers that be, so you got to be careful about that, because I did that with my review of Forbidden Legends Sex and Chopsticks. No visible nipples or bush, but yeah. the sex scenes were still in there, and they've left that review alone, but they took down the trailer, which I put up as a test. So
all right, I've noticed they've actually turned it a second one.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a second one because the story it's based on, the main plot of the main core of the story, is not. It's not something the first movie covers, Forbidden Legends, Sex and Chopsticks. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite looking forward to the second one in that regard. It's supposed to be very much darker. The first one was a light romp.
Cheap, that was a cheap, dark romp.
Cheap bunker fun.
Mm-hmm. So this movie is now set in the evening.
Yeah, you can say that anyway. and directed by the wonderfully named Cash Chin.
Oh, Lord.
Wonderful. But brilliant director of The Eternal Evil of Asia, Sex and Zen 2, Naked Poison, and now these two.
Mm-hmm.
So quality flicks then.
Absolutely, they are quality flicks.
The guy knows his genre.
Elvis Choi turns into a dickhead in The Eternal Evil of Asia, literally. It's a classic shot of him as a dickhead.
Mm, I think that was actually used in our Christmas competition.
Yeah. And he still has the his trademark stash.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can't even lose the tash. You wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a wonderful makeup, that, actually, for Hong Kong. It's not like they put a stupid little hat on him.
Mm-hmm.
So. Cover it yourself.
And a block of cheese, most likely. I've not even opened it yet. It could be fucking horrible. And the thing is, I don't know why I need to buy this actual kit. I'm pretty sure I could buy a block of cheese, a pot of salsa, sour cream, crisps.
It just sounds like work. Mm-hmm. Sounds like something you have to assemble.
Yep, I'll just get it to Margaret. Like, woman, food, make. I would start doing okay, man. No, it's like, me, make fire, and I just turn on the Xbox.
Me now play.
Aye.
Me now not talk to you, woman, in the kitchen. You not talk to me.
Aye. Me, you talk, 9:30, half hour.
Now you sound Chinese all of a sudden.
Shit. You sound like Chinese caveman.
You sound like Egg Shen from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, stereotypical badness.
That's a brilliant film.
I have not seen that film since I was a child.
But you have seen it once?
I have seen it. I just remember the floating eyeball thing freaked me the fuck out.
It's...
I was like, holy crap! I was like, I was just basically hide behind the couch when that was on.
The greatest thing about that movie is like, it's just so out there for a Hollywood movie. It's so great fun because of it. Because he obviously was inspired by Sue. He said that openly.
Mm-hmm.
He had watched Sue. And it's just fucking brilliant. The Carter Wong is in it. It's a part of the Carpenter era that is actually, you know, where he was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Every Carpenter movie, they live, is brilliant. If you haven't seen that in a few years, or at all, see it.
Mm-hmm. It's
brilliant. It stars, maybe not someone you know of, but apparently stars a former wrestler, Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah. He's actually wrestling this Sunday.
Oh, he's still doing that? Okay.
Yeah. I'll link you up to some YouTube videos once we're finished.
If you haven't seen They Live, this should probably earn a spot on a rental list. So a drifter, which is Roddy Piper, discovers mm-hmm. a pair of sunglasses that allows him to wake up to the fact that aliens have taken over the Earth.
Yeah.
Because when he puts that on, everywhere he looks, if he looks at a sign that says, you know, car wash, in actuality, there's a hidden message behind that. You know, buy, or whatever. And he can see aliens with these glasses. It's just a great fucking film. It's fun, a bit serious, and just unique as hell. So They Live.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
It's fucking... Oh, John Carpenter.
Surprise it's not being remade. We better not give him the idea.
Yeah.
They'll be looking at statistics and realise someone's writing this movie and say, we have an audience, remake it.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that one got remade. I mean, they've gone through the Carpenter catalog. They probably want to go through The Thing first, but that was a remake in itself, so whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If they can make, it's like when they do remakes of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been done so many times, so it's not like it's the remake of the Abel Ferrara version from the '90s. It's not like the you know the Daniel Craig Nicole Kidman movie from a little while back. That was basically Body Snatchers again. So you know that story is okay, but I'm betting they'll get to Daylib at one point and just make it totally not. It's a movie that can only be made at that time, in a way. It's just so uniquely, the feeling of it is so unique. So I think it would come up as more generic when they remake it. So, just like remaking Big Trouble in Little China, it just takes a certain something to achieve that kind of feeling with that movie.
Cool.
So don't you dare remake it! Anyway,
all right. We'll sorry, Jim. Now,
sorry to trouble you.
You'll have like a banned list on your website. You are not permitted to visit my website. Then it's a list of names.
Probably because I rant on about negative people in my review for Twins Effect 2.
Ah.
Actually, do that. There's this whole paragraph where I say, if you. Why the fuck did you buy this film when you knew what it's going to be? Because I think it was back in the old days when I used to go on Jackie Chan film, people used to bitch about how Twins Effect was crap and how the twins couldn't act, but then they say, oh, I just bought Twins Effect 2. This would be shit too, but I don't know why I bought it, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, it can't all, be.
And it just really annoys me just why people are going to buy it just so they can bitch at the twins.
Mm, and they can't really... Well, a lot of people do bitch.
They were pitching and they were, but...
Mm-hmm. A lot of people can bitch, but the thing is, they've not actually went to the level of buying the film to watch it. So, I hate them. It's like, did you see the movie? No.
But I can. Oh, I have words.
Mm-hmm. That 2-minute YouTube trailer is all I needed.
It's a very good topic to bring up in a review, James. Because I very much agree that some people are just, they bitch for the sake of bitching. The Twins Effect 2, coming from my perspective, is not a movie that necessarily appealed to me, but that's okay. Others, it can appeal to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to bitch and moan because people like it as such. I mean, so.
Mm-hmm. See, this is where I carefully edit, where Ken starts saying, Twins Effect 2 is not a movie, then just end it there.
No.
So in my opinion, Twins Effect 2 is not a movie.
It will be like a... There will be like a podcast 40. What is it? Was this 43 or 42?
43.
It will be like 43.1 where I defend myself. And I will upload that to make sure, and you will upload another podcast saying he actually
really said this.
Just that. Stop being a dick. You remember that? You remember that lesson from a few podcasts ago? That still applies.
I do, yeah. I've met people like that and I thought, why the fuck are they such dicks?
I think I should actually include that
because it makes me look like much less of a dick than I actually am.
Mm-hmm. For when I rewrite all my Ken Cheng reviews, I think I will actually have a specialised paragraph which will start off with the line, to all the haters. Fuck you. Full stop. Next paragraph.
Oh, that's kind of a thing. We touched upon it slightly when we talked about Young and Dangerous before, that people judge it based on what they know of basically Ekin Cheng as Ekin Cheng, which is not the tuned correct way to do things, but people realize that way too late in life.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly never. Which again, I'm very glad, James, that you bring that up in such a review, because people need that smack in the face. And possibly you, I don't know if you wrote it verbatim like that and swore in the review, but that is possibly what's needed sometimes to give people that slap in the face.
Well, I'll just put it in a more friendly way, because my site is, how you say, family friendly.
Okay.
It's from the age of 4, and
so it's not the
angry, they can actually read.
It's not the angry Asian movie nerd then.
No, I'm the happy Asian movie nerd.
Ah, yeah.
There's an alternative website title.
yeah.
HappyAsianMovieNerd.com.
But it will be happy, so I only be with
and then I could host the alternative site. Nasty Asian Movie Nerd. We'd create a whole series of blogs that no one will visit.
And it will
step on our way to fame.
And it will be, you know, reviews along the lines of, "Hello, I like this film. Bye bye."
Well, I'll actually get to the point where I'm so lazy it'll just be audio reviews and we click on it. Aye, it was good.
Aye.
And then so I'll actually just use the same clip for half a movie, like half a dozen other films. Is it? Aye, I think Young and Dangerous too. It's good.
It's important to
just
have
go to the next step and just write, just have whole list, just copy and paste whole list of films and just put good, bad, good, bad.
Like a naughty list.
Just write the first letter.
Mhm.
Good.
So Jeez. Many ideas.
Mm.
None of them will take the internet by storm, but fuck it.
One of them has to.